welcome to Legalize Vaping by Legalize Vaping Australia. We're here with a couple of really special guests. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. So for those of our listeners who might not know who you are, do you want to give us a little bit of an intro?
Yeah, we're a vape shop in Newcastle, Steel City Vapor. I've been running for about two and a half years.
Nearly 2 years.
Yeah, or 2 years here.
Yeah.
Plus what we did down the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just going through all the fun times of the vape industry, I suppose.
Yeah, and what are your names?
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Milo.
There we go.
Ryan and Milo, there we go. So, you opened your store about two and a half years ago. What was it? At what point did you go from, you know, say being a vapor to going, we should actually open a vape shop? And what was the reasoning behind that?
I started vaping 9-10 years ago. Actually started importing vapes the first time around 7 years ago. So I got it really early, but the market just wasn't there for it. And then stopped. And then I kind of got pulled back into it by somebody else that we know. And then
I had really great success with vaping, so I was like, yeah, I'll throw my hat in the ring for that because I really, really believed in it. I tried to give up smoking quite a few different ways. And when Ryan sort of hit me with the offer, I went, yeah, man, I can stand behind this. This is a legit product. Let's do it.
Wow. And how long did you smoke before you got onto vaping?
I'm 47. I smoked probably since I was about 18, 19. So I was a solid over 20 years of smoking, and I've been 3+ years now without putting a cigarette in my mouth.
Oh, fantastic.
And did you try other methods to quit?
Oh, yeah. I tried patches, gum. I was on Champix. Had a really bad turn on the Champix. That did not agree with me at all. But everything that I tried still left me feeling there was something missing. Like some of the nicotine cravings might have subsided a little bit, but psychologically it was something was missing. I had, my hands were always fidgety and I always felt like just unsettled until someone put a vape in my hand. And then it's like the combination of the nicotine replacement and the physical having something in my hand and inhaling, it just went away. It was great.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, that's what they don't quite understand. They go, well, why can't you just try patches or gum? It's like, well, because vaping actually mimics the act of smoking, right? So you get to breathe something in, you get to hold on to something.
Yep.
There's a flavor, there's a whole process around that. When you were using those other products, you sort of said that you were still fidgeting and things like that. Like, how were any of them moderately successful, or was it all just the same sort of thing, quit for a while and then straight back on to cigarettes?
Champix sort of, yeah, knocked the cravings out and I felt a bit fidgety, but the side effects were just too much to bear. And I just went, you know what, I'm gonna smoke.
It was just
too much. The patches and that, yeah, the cravings were subsided a little bit, but nowhere near like the Champix did. And it's just, yeah, it's just something wasn't quite right, you know. It just didn't alleviate to the point that the vapes did for me. And as soon as someone showed me them, it was just like, I was like everyone else, I was like, oh, what's this, man? What's this gonna do to me and whatnot? And then, yeah, like I said, after doing a few months of it, and I felt healthier, I was breathing better. I just went, oh, this is a godsend, man. I told all my friends about it. I told my family about it. And then the opportunity come with Ryan, and I went, yeah, because to be in business too, you want to have something that you can stand behind, that I've had a success story with it, and I can legitimately stand in front of people and go, hey, this is what I did and this really worked for me. And can sort of really pass on those tips. And yeah.
Yeah, that's really a great story, and congratulations on kicking
that
habit. But you know, some time back, it was a little bit of a recession within the vaping world, you could call it. There was some hysteria coming out of the U.S. Some people got sick after smoking, after vaping some really nasty, illegal, badly bought product from China mostly.
Yeah.
And that just threw everyone into a panic because they assumed vaping was dangerous. How was your business affected by that?
Dropped by more than half.
Wow.
So we're never really in any sort of trouble because we're doing so well before before that happened. But yeah, drop by nearly half, and you know, we just get by. We're not doing huge numbers compared to, you know, we're not super healthy where we can, you know, become the next vaporizer and all that, but it's still fairly healthy. But to have the business going so well and then to be knocked around the way that it was, yeah, we struggled for a while. And, you know, we'd like to open up another shop and do other things, but while the government is in the stance that it is, and yeah, we pretty much just have to stand back and let things play out before we
customers can... were very tentative. A lot of questions, a lot of customers were very tentative. We were fielding questions pretty much every day. Hey?
Yeah, you get sick of saying the same thing over and over and over again, trying to explain to people exactly what's going on. It was pretty rough for a while there.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I think that's one of the things as well, is that, you know, from a business side, it impacts business owners and it impacts people that are trying to get people to switch to vaping. But the flip side is those 50% of customers that stopped coming, they probably went back to smoking. And this is what, like,
We had people come back in that had thrown all their gear out.
Yeah, totally.
Gone back to smoking, and then their breathing's pretty much just gone to shit.
Yep.
And they've come in and wanted to, and they rebought everything again. Going, how can this be worse for me than what that is? If I can't breathe while I'm smoking.
So just to clarify, what you're saying is basically, you know, you had them. They switched to vaping. They were feeling healthier. There was a fake news scare about vaping products related to, you know, these street bought THC liquids that we always knew what the issue was. So they read a bunch of fake media reports and then went back to smoking and started feeling worse again. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
100%. Yep.
And it wasn't just one customer. There were heaps of them where some of them had thrown all the gear out. Some had to come in and, you know, just restock.
To the point where someone come in and I said, oh, you still got your battery charger? He goes, no, I threw me battery charger and everything away. And we're just shaking our heads at it. It was like, wow, it really got some people.
Yeah, but this is the thing is that for some reason, you know, at Legalized Vaping, we're very careful about everything that we say. We always make sure that we, you know, dot our I's and cross our T's and make sure that we're never saying the wrong thing and that we're always right about the information that we're putting out there. Which can mean that we actually can be sometimes a little bit slow to put stuff out because we want to be very, very careful. Yet for some reason, anti-vaping bodies can just say whatever they want, throw shit out there. Yep. The net result is that people go back to smoking cigarettes. And then when it's shown, you know, time and time over again that they were wrong and that they were lying about what was happening with the vaping deaths in America and they were wrong about vaping more generally, they never have to apologize.
No.
Months after politicians have all the information's been outed by the CDC, Trump and all the groups in America are saying, yeah, it was THC liquid that were causing this. Our politicians are still pumping that it was vaping that caused the problem and not THC. So they know that the information's out there. If they kept up to date with it, they should have been able to read all that, yet our politicians still slam vaping by using information they know is wrong.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think I just heard you take a drag of your vape, by the way.
Yeah.
So I have a question about your business generally, which is obviously we know selling nicotine not legal in Australia. No. Most people have to buy it from overseas. Yeah. And there's also a lot of restrictions that the government basically puts in place that seem a little bit ridiculous. They treat you as sometimes more harshly than a lot of tobacco products, even though there's no tobacco in your products. So how have you had to adapt to all these restrictions the government has put in place? Has it been kind of simple for you, or has it been kind of like jumping through hoops?
Has not been simple. It's been one thing after another, hey Ryan.
I think we've been a little bit more simple compared to other shops though, because our local Department of Health rep, we worked with him pretty much from the start and made sure we set up the shop so that we didn't have a lot of the problems. We very rarely get visited, so we don't get bothered too much apart from...
comply fully.
There's things that we've been targeted for, even though we've complied pretty much from the very start, but we've still been targeted by New South Wales Health. Their legal teams come after us a little bit.
Really?
We were one of the... Our area got hammered with our website. We had to put a login so that you had to log in to view product.
Oh my God.
Our whole area were told if you don't do that, you're going to cop a massive fine. So Mr. Devices vaped out. Everyone in this area went behind a login. But they didn't go and target anywhere else in New South Wales. We got targeted.
And our social media too.
Our social media, we're not, we can't have a Facebook page unless you agree to new vape products. So our old social media page, which is huge compared to the newer one that we had to form, we pretty much had to start that from scratch.
They basically wanted to, they were threatening us with a $600,000 fine for breaching the advertisement of tobacco laws by having pictures of vape products on our website.
And just to clarify, vape products that don't have tobacco aren't derived from anything tobacco related, have nothing to do with tobacco companies, don't kill 2 in 3 long-term users like tobacco products do.
We couldn't so much as even the tools, like the screwdrivers that some people that use to build... right down to that point, the screwdrivers, the batteries, all those sorts of things that they class them as vape-related products because they're in a vape store now.
Well, this is the kind of like absolute bureaucratic fucking hobgoblinry that goes back to when we were first doing this campaign. I stopped at a vape shop up in Queensland called Aussie E-Cigs. And the guys in there, when we went into their shop to say g'day, they were moving a fridge. And moving some shelving. And I said, oh, what's going on? They said, oh, Queensland Health came through and they said that the bottles of water that we have are a vape product because they're in a vape shop. So we have to get rid of them.
That happened to us.
They have to be blacked out.
Happened to us too. We used to sell drinks in here for customers to come in. They buy a can of Coke or a bottle of water and the inspector come in and said, no, you can't sell that. It's not a vape product. It has to, you have to take it down.
Especially in the middle of summer, boiling hot day. What's wrong with selling somebody a drink?
But I can go into a tobacconist and I can buy, you know, a block of chocolate, can of V, and, you know, a pack of smokes that kill 52 Australians every day.
Well, totally. That's the joy of being classed as a medical device and not a tobacco product. We should be classified as a individual product that we shouldn't be classed as a medical device. That's how that's how we get around the laws to be able to import nicotine. So it's worked towards our advantage, but then they can use that to make our life harder by trying to nicotine should be legalized. It should just be like any other product, like tobacco.
We can keep people safe too. You've got people just willy-nilly buying nicotine now that don't really know
how to
use it properly too, or store it properly. You know, like we've seen things where people have gotten sick from not using the right dosages. You know, we get people come in and tell us horror stories, and it's like, man, if
got 100 milligram nicotine and put it straight in the tank.
Yeah, it's like no, this is your base nicotine. You need to dilute it. So
why is my chest at the moment?
Yeah.
Well, regulation would definitely help there, and we really can't regulate things that are illegal. So
totally.
We're definitely 100% there with you on that. Just to finish up, what do you think if, obviously apart from just legalizing vaping, nicotine vaping in Australia, what do you think is something the government could do today to help you and your business run more smoothly and pick up more customers?
Allow us to advertise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, vape shops basically run on word of mouth. One person tells the next person tells the next person. We can't so much as put an ad in the paper or on the radio. Not that we could really afford a radio ad, probably, but to get it out to the...
We've had football teams asked to be sponsored.
Sponsored. To get it out into the wider general public and make it a little... so it's not so... clandestine or underground, just allowing us to advertise would be,
maybe one thing. Stop relying on just Australian research and look at what research has been done overseas to see what it is actually capable of doing. There's how many vapors in Australia? 200,000 or 300,000, something like that. It's getting up there. There's a whole pool of people that they could be drawing on to get information about how it's affecting their lives and how it's improved their health. They don't necessarily need to get hard data. There's hard data just in people's experience.
We definitely agree with everything you're saying, and we hope to continue to fight the good fight and get these products in front of the people that need it. So we really want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
We appreciate this. doing what you do and taking the time out of your days to interview vape shop owners and try to get this industry more into into the forefront, so people haven't got just those Champix and those things to rely on. My doctor was really keen on it because he said he's got some patients that can't take Champix and he needs to get them off the cigarettes. And when he spoke to me about vaping, he said, I'm going to look into this because it's a good thing for those people who he can't put on Champix, who have underlying issues where they just can't take it. You know? So.
Right. Yeah, no, I think obviously other countries have had great success with it as we remain stagnant in our smoking rates. So it's definitely something that needs to happen and needs to happen soon. So anyway, thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Please be sure to keep in touch.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Right, have a good evening.